Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope all of you are having a great Memorial Day weekend, and enjoy your family plans tomorrow. I found out yesterday that the Texas weather is still too hot for me to actually be physically fit. So I got tired while throwing a football around at a birthday party. And so, you know, it's awesome. Anyways, hope you have a great day tomorrow, and I'm excited to be here with you. My name is Brian Lamb. If I haven't got to meet you, I hope I get that pleasure. I have the honor of serving here at Solid Rock as the pastor of community and missions, and it is always a joy of mine to be able to open the Word of God with all of you. And so we're in the last sermon of our series that we've been in all spring called A Church on Mission. And this is a series where we've been looking at what it is to be a church on mission. And we've been preaching through the vision here at our church and trying to help us see how the mission and the vision come together and plays out in the life of the church. And recently we've been looking at this last part of our vision called living the mission. And we've heard about how living the mission is to be a part of our identity as Christians. Last week we saw the marks of a true church that is living on mission. You know, when Jason, the lead pastor here, began, he is not Jesus. When Jason began this series, he would agree with that. When he began this series, he reminded us beautifully that this mission we are on as a church is not something we've created. It's not something we've made up. It hasn't come from us, but it's come from Jesus himself. As he commissions us to go and make disciples of all nations. He had this quote from John Piper saying that missions exist because worship doesn't. Meaning that we are to be on this mission because there are people that are not worshiping God. That God's glory would be filled throughout the earth. And today we're going to kind of close out the series and come full circle back to really that first sermon that Jason gave and see that the mission of God is, in fact, his own glory to be proclaimed throughout the nations. That he would be worshiped by all peoples. And we as believers, as followers of Jesus, are allowed and invited into this mission of God, this grand and glorious mission of God for his glory to be known throughout the world. We get to come and be a part of this. When Jesus gives us the Great Commission to make disciples, this wasn't some spur-of-the-moment thing that he just decided on the whim. You know, he wasn't like chilling in heaven with the Spirit and the Father and like, hey, you know, Spirit, like when I resurrect, I really need to give these people down here something to do. Like, we need to keep them on task, give them some busy work. Any ideas? Well, you know, the Father's been talking about this whole glory thing throughout, you know, human history. Maybe we could try that or something. And Jesus is like, okay, we'll do that. Like, that's not what happened. That's not how it went down. See, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, God's mission has always been his own glory. The Great Commission is the telling of God's glory in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, in order for us to be a church on mission, we live this mission for the glory of God among all nations because we are joining in his great purpose and plan that he started himself. And so I want to start with this question that I've seen from resources like the Westminster Catechism and Confessions and authors from like John Piper and R.C. Sproul and D.A. Carson and many others, this question of, is it right for God to seek his own glory above all other things? And that question really resonated with me, especially early on in my walk, and the answer to that question has really impacted the way that I have viewed everything in life. The answer to that is there anything higher that he could seek? No. See, if he were to put something before himself, to put some other glory before his own, then would he not be an idolater and thus breaking his own commandment? It is right for God to seek his own glory above all things because he is holy. He is set apart. He is first. He is best. For him to seek glory in anything else above himself would be to go against his very nature. And it is in this passion and in this pursuit of God for his own glory that salvation then comes to us as he is exhibiting and extending his glorious love, mercy, grace, and justice throughout the entire world. God is righteous and loving to seek his own glory above all things because in this we are able to see what is truly best for us. We are able to see what ultimately satisfies. We were able to celebrate his great name. And so, you know, in the church today, we, especially in America, we talk a lot about the personal nature of our relationship with Jesus. And this is good, and this is right, and it's vital for us to grow as Christians. But sometimes, especially in American culture, where we're told that everything is about us, we can easily miss this grand mission of God for his glory throughout the nations, because we have this self-centered gospel, this self-centered faith that leads to us to think that all of this is about us and not about God. The gospel is meant to come in and break us of that, to break us of this self-centered, prideful idea that all things exist for us, and to give us what truly satisfies, which is God himself. The gospel is so beautiful because it doesn't end with us. It moves in us and through us and beyond us to all nations. And God is using us as a part of his global mission for his own glory. And so we're going to see this from Psalm 96. And so if you have your Bible, your tablet, your phone, if you would open up to Psalm 96, it will be on the screen behind me. We also have Bibles underneath the chairs for you. If you don't own a copy of God's Word, we want to give that to you and make sure you take that home with you today. And so when we look in Psalm 96 today, we're going to see really three primary things that help inform us about this global mission of God for his own glory and how we really fit into that. So we're going to start in verse 1, and we'll go to verse 6 of Psalm 96, and then we'll pick it up later. And so in verse 1, the psalmist says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So we're going to stop right there and talk about this. The psalmist starts here with a command for you and I to sing this new song to the Lord, a song that's telling of his salvation, of his glorious works, a song declaring of his glory, greatness, splendor, and majesty. We are to be a people that are so captivated by the glory of God that it becomes something we can't contain, but we have to declare. This mission that we are on is one of singing, one of telling and of declaring God's glory. Our worship of God is to be obvious, to be made known. See, these are not boring or ordinary works that we see from our God, but they are glorious and majestic and wonderful and marvelous. You know, we see later in this psalm that even creation is rejoicing in the glory of God. But see, our declaration is much different because our declaration of God's glory is the fact that we were made in his image. We were set apart from all other creation. And as saved beings, we are the only ones that can declare this salvation aspect of God's glory. We have a part of this that the rest of creation doesn't have. You and I, we have tasted and we've seen God's glory, his goodness, that he is gracious, that he is merciful. See, even in 1 Peter 1, it says that the angels are envious of you and I, that they long to look into these matters concerning salvation. We see here in Psalm 96 and verse 5 that not only we're to declare him for his works, but we're to declare him and his glory because all other so-called gods, lowercase g, are worthless idols. They will not satisfy. They are empty promises made by human hands and human imagination. We declare that true joy only comes from knowing the one true God who created everything, who is existing by his own power and is self-sufficient within himself to exist. He is the only God worthy of all praise, the creator of all things. Now, we are a people, we love to declare things. Look at your social media page. We love it, right? We got our Man Crush Mondays, or Women Crush Wednesdays, or Throwback Thursdays. They'll find something for the rest of the days, soon enough. right? Like social media has made this huge impact on our world to where, you know, some of us, we like to declare and tell everybody about every hour of our day. Some of us even every half hour, if we're honest, right? It's the reason this is so huge in our world today is because it's giving us this voice. It's giving us the ability to declare, to tell. You saw it this week with this Chewbacca mom, right? If you're on social media, you saw this Chewbacca mom. This lady, she got this mask and she laughs for like 4 minutes straight because it makes the Chewbacca sound. Like she was just simply declaring that she thought this was hilarious and that she bought it for herself and not her kids. Right? And so in her declaring what was exciting her, she then caused others to declare this hilarious video to where it got millions of views, to where she's on talk shows and she's visiting Lucasfilms and on Facebook. All of this from just posting some little video. You see how quick it catches fire? It just goes viral. Even, you know, a lot of us, we're big sports fans. Some of us probably are, at least. We love to let people know about our teams, don't we? Oh, yeah. Love it. We'll listen to sports radio all day. We can talk to you about everything, name every player on this team, right? We could check our fantasy teams all day. This is why grown men pay money to stand in the freezing weather topless with body paint and a mask on. Like, it doesn't make sense, but it does to them because they love this, right? There's these things that are deep inside of our heart that we love. We can't contain them. We have to declare these things. And the things that we declare are showing where our heart truly is. It's showing what matters most to us. It's showing what has a hold of our hearts, what we're latching onto at times. And you see all of this simply by looking at what we are declaring day in and day out. See, the things we declare with our mouths are the things that we are actually declaring with our hearts, as Jesus says in Luke 6:45, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus is saying that the mouth begins to speak from the overflow of the heart. That wherever our heart is, that's what we are going to be declaring. Whatever it is latched onto, whatever it has a hold of, that is what we will be declaring. And if our hearts are connected to Jesus, then we will be declaring his glory, because the gospel of Jesus is to be declared, because it is sweet to our hearts. The fact that God has taken this lost sinner who has gone his own way and rebelled against him, and he has brought us back to him by the sacrifice of his son for our sins. And not only that, but he has made us righteous and be able to stand before him in his courts. He has defeated death for us that we might have eternal life with him. This is news that our hearts, when it really grabs a hold of this, we can't do anything but declare this. We must. William S. Plummer, in his commentary on the Psalms, says, "Let us spread far and wide the glorious knowledge of God in Christ. We have no duty more obvious or more pressing. If a redeemed sinner should keep silence on redemption, he would be a monster, wouldn't he?" Or all of us, we need to see that all of us, we're declaring something in our lives, day in and day out. We need to ask ourselves, what is that? Have we been declaring the gospel and the glory of God? Or are we declaring other things? What did you declare last week? What did you declare yesterday? What'd you declare this morning when you woke up? He's calling us to declare his glory. And so we're going to continue in this. We're going to look at verse 3 one more time, and then we'll start in verse 7 and continue. And so in verse 3, he says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." And then verse 7, we look down there and we'll continue this. He says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." And so this psalm is implying that in our declaration of God's glory, we are to not leave out any nation, any peoples, any families. God has revealed his glory. He has shown his marvelous works with a plan, with a purpose to reach all peoples, all nations, that they would come and worship him throughout the entire world. When it says nations here, it's not specifically talking about some political nation. It's talking about people, people groups. This is God's mission, that those who worship him in his glory, that it would not end with us, but that it would move through us and into the nations. God is spreading his glory through the nations, through the salvation that comes from his Son. See, in the gospel, God is made accessible for all people. There is no longer Jew and Gentile, but we are all one in Christ. If you look with me in Romans 15, you can turn there. It'll also be on the screen behind me. Romans 15, verse 8. He says, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" That is a quote directly from 2 Samuel 22:50 and Psalm 18:49 that both say, "For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name." And again it is said in verse 10, he says, "And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his peoples.'" Quoted from Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. Verse 11, he says, "And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." Quoted from Psalm 117, verse 1. And again, Isaiah says, verse 12, "The root of Jesse will come, and even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope." Quoted from Isaiah 11, verse 10. Paul is quoting these Old Testament prophecies of old in the Psalms and Deuteronomy and Isaiah to show us that in Christ, God has fulfilled not only his promises to the nation of Israel, but his promise that his name would be made great and glorified and praised throughout the entire earth, that all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. He's showing that in the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, dying for sinners, making forgiveness possible, he did it not only for one nation, but in mind of all nations, all peoples, Gentiles like you and me. So back in 2010, I've got this awesome opportunity to travel with my family to New York City for New Year's Eve. It was cool, like, you know, just all the Christmas stuff and downtown New York City, and it was really, really awesome. And so my sister and I, we're twins, and we were born on New Year's Eve. And so it's been an awesome birthday. We've loved it, not just because we've got double the presents around Christmas time, which is great, but also, like, it's New Year's Eve. Like, everybody's celebrating our birthday. Well, maybe the new year, but still, like, it feels like everybody's celebrating our birthday with us. Like, there's a party everywhere, right? And so we love it, and we got to go down there, and we wanted to be on Times Square to watch the ball drop. That was just something we've always wanted to do with our birthday being there and everything like that. And so, you know, what we didn't realize, though, is that Times Square fills up really quick. Like, I think it was like noon, and it was already full. And so, you know, we're down there, we're doing birthday dinner, and, you know, it's my dad and my sister Katie and her brother-in-law. His name is Brandon. I don't know why I almost forgot his name, but anyways, he's very important to me. I love him, his family. So his name is Brandon, and we were with my grandmother and aunt, and so, but the four of us, we go and we're setting off to go to Times Square to watch the ball drop. Just so cool, right? And so we didn't know, though, that we weren't going to get in. And so we get to like a block away, and there's all these gates and checkpoints and police everywhere, just everywhere. And so, you know, we go up and we're like, "Hey, you know, we're trying to get in Times Square," and they're like, "It's closed." And I'm like, "It's not closed. There's tons of people everywhere, right?" My quick wit didn't get anything done for us. But anyways, he's like, "It's full. There's too many people. You can't come in here." And so there's also this guy there, and he's like, "Hey, I've got these passes that will get you into Times Square." And he saw us Texans coming from a mile away. And so what really happened was that it got us through multiple checkpoints, but there's one point that we couldn't get past because the comedy club, which is the worst comedy club I've ever been to in my life, was right before it. And so anyways, the story is in these checkpoints, right? So he shows the pass. We get to this first one. He shows the pass, and he's like, "They're with me." And so dad walks through. I walk through. Katie walks through. My brother-in-law, Brandon, though, He starts walking through, and they're like, "Sir, stop. What are you doing? This place is closed." He's like, "Well, that's my family. Like, I'm with, like, that's my wife, brother-in-law, father. Like, we're all here. Hi. Like, this is us." And they're like, "No, sir, it's closed. You can't come in here. That's not possible." He's like, "Yeah, but he showed the pass to you. Like, I'm supposed to get in once he shows the pass. All the rest of them got in. I should be able to get in too, right?" And so I go over there and I tell him, "Hey, you know, he's with us," and that doesn't work at all. And so then the guy comes back and he shows him the pass and they eventually let him through. And I'm not kidding you, every other checkpoint on the way there, I go through, dad goes through, Kay goes through, Brandon, "Stop, sir, what are you doing?" Like, he gets stopped at every checkpoint. It was so hilarious. And we teased him about it and he was so frustrated and everything. And, you know, we all had a horrible time towards the end, though, because we had to go to that comedy club and everything. But it was cool because after that, we got to go into the Times Square, and this was after the ball drop. But it was really still an awesome experience. All the confetti and people are everywhere, and it's just massive and all these things. And, you know, it was a great time, great experience. Maybe not for Brandon, but for all the rest of us, it was awesome. And so, you know, I tell that story to make this point, that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for all who believe, he has given us access. And he hasn't just opened the gates for some of us, for those of us that look a certain way or act a certain way or talk a certain way or a certain nationality. But he has opened the gates for all nations, for all peoples. There is access to God through the blood of Jesus for all who will believe. And all of us who are declaring and singing of this glorious news, it is to be declared among all nations that they would find salvation, that his glory would fill the earth. And so this is packed full of massive implications for those of us who believe. This means that we are to have a passion for those who have not heard the gospel, that we would bid, beckon, and plead with them to worship God, to join us in ascribing glory to him. And we see this passion all throughout the New Testament, specifically in Romans 10, where Paul says, starting in verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And so Paul's saying here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no distinction based on race or diversity or racial diversity or ethnicity or background or nationality, that he has given the riches of his grace and salvation to all who call on him. But how are they going to be saved if they don't believe? And how are they going to believe if they have not heard? He's saying it is the duty of those whom have heard of him, who have believed in him, to go and tell others about him, to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. See, God is using us to spread his glory throughout the earth in the salvation of sinners. It is not only a privilege and an honor to be a part of this mission of God, but we have been commanded to go, and not to go to just one place, but to go to all nations, that his glory would reach the ends of the earth. And in this, we are fulfilling our purpose as the representatives, the image bearers of his glory amongst the earth. You have been made for global purposes, to call all nations to the glory of God. If you're following along with the blanks, I missed the first one, I think, but in your sermon notes, the second one is that as the people of God, we are to be on a heavy pursuit of declaring God's glory among all nations, peoples, and families of the earth. In 2016, there's some resources like Joshua Project and peoplegroups.com, and these are organizations that really just track the number of people, the number of people groups that do not have the gospel, and I'm talking about don't have access to the gospel. And they're an estimated, today, they're an estimated 6,600 to 6,800 people groups 4.2 billion people who are considered unreached in this moment. I mean, there is not a community of believing Christians around them to give them access to the gospel. And an estimated, out of that, an estimated 3,058 people groups, 193 million people that are considered unengaged. Meaning, not only is there not a community of believing Christians around them, but there's no church planting strategy in place to reach them. And there's so many other statistics that I could put out here if we had time, but I will just say this. Go onto these websites and watch the picture scroll of these people, of these people groups, who don't even have access to the gospel. I'm not talking about Texas where there's a church on every corner and we have access to the gospel. I'm talking about zero access. And if we believe in what we say we believe in, that apart from a saving faith in Jesus, we will experience the eternal wrath of God, then this should do something in our hearts. If we're reading what we see here, that God has a plan to save, then it should drop us to our knees in prayer for these people. It should move us today, knowing that God has this glorious plan, purpose, and mission to reach these people, and he's using us to do so. Charles Spurgeon says, "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. There are people, Solid Rock, that have never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have it. We have this message of glory, of salvation, of eternal life. And we know also that our God saves, yet we remain unresponsive. Oh, that we would move today." See, we are here today because people believe this mission, because people were on this mission. People gave their lives for this mission. You're reading your English Bible today because a man named William Tyndale gave his life. He was sacrificed. He sacrificed his life. He was burned at the stake for transcribing the Bible into English, that others might know Jesus, might hear about Jesus. Let us not take this great commission to the nations lightly. May we, like our Savior, be willing to even give up our lives that others would come to know him, that the nations would be filled with the glory of God. And so let's finish Psalm 96 in verse 10. He says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." And so in these three verses, what we see here is this idea of the already but not yet. How in Christ's defeat of death, he has already secured this victory for us. We are in this eager longing of the day when he will return, and that God is reconciling all things to himself by the peace of the cross. We see that the Lord, though, also reigns now, and all of creation is rejoicing in the victory of our King and in the Creator of all things. The heavens are glad, the universe is rejoicing, and we are to join in this now, declaring God's glory with creation, with the heavens, with the earth, with the sea, and everything in it, meaning even the fishes are rejoicing, with the field, with the trees of the forest, but also knowing that while we remain here on earth now, we must not forget that we are a part of this mission. We declare not only God's glory in his creation, but we declare his glory in his salvation. And one day this mission will come to a completion where all creation will fully worship God in all of his glory. And so the psalmist is trying to connect our mission today with the hopeful rejoicing that we are to have, and the hope that is coming in the eternal worship of God. He He's saying the Lord is near. The day is coming. Jesus is coming. And he will judge the world in righteousness, meaning there will be a day where there's no more corruption. And he will judge all the peoples in his faithfulness, meaning there will be justice for all people. And so this should give us this immediate rejoicing with the rest of creation now and this hope to come, this longing to come. But it should also ignite in us this serious urgency to remain steadfast on this mission, knowing that this day is coming. It has been secured. It is a sure thing that one day all peoples will stand before the righteous and faithful judge and will account for their sins. And so if you're following along, we are to remain steadfast to this mission of God, to declare his glory among the nations and rejoice with creation in the full assurance of God's eternal reign. See, God, he's not merely waiting around for his glory, though. But he's taken the initiative. From the beginning of time, he has taken the initiative. Everything he does is motivated by this desire. In the beginning, God created for his glory. He creates man and woman in his image, after his likeness, to be representatives of his glory throughout the earth as he commands them to populate the earth in order that his glory would fill it. But we see that Adam and Eve, though, rebelled against God in the fall, but this didn't stop God's plan. It started God's redemptive plan, the redemptive component of this plan, as God's story of redemption and salvation to reclaim a people who will declare his glory to all of the nations is seen in the hope of Genesis 3:15. As he promises that he will overcome this curse of sin and he will restore all things through Eve's offspring. We see this mission continuing in the life of Abraham and Moses and the prophets and King David and ultimately in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we're all for the glory of the Father. And then Jesus commissions us to go out and to spread the glory of God to the nations. And finally, we see that when Jesus returns, when we are in the new heavens and the new earth, that there will be no need for sun, no need for moon, for the light of our God will be shining bright. This has been his plan. This has been his purpose, his mission. And it will always be his mission. You know, God has not only told us in his word that this is happening, but this is going to happen, but he's doing it right before our very eyes. I don't know if you see that. Like if you look through human history, you'll see that God is very faithful to what he has promised. His glory is spreading to the nations. And it's astonishing to sit back and just see how this started with 12 and then grew to 500 and then to 3,000 and then to tens of thousands and then to 100,000 in 250 AD. And then in 312 AD, not 62 years later, it began growing to over 9 million people. And then 31.7 million people in 350 AD called Jesus Lord. And it began to spread all over the known world from India to England. And it has done nothing but continue to grow and grow and grow throughout history. And it may seem like in America, in the West, it's dying out. But I can promise you it's not. You look at Asia, South America, Africa, all over the world, every tribe, tongue, and nation are coming to know Jesus each day. God's mission is happening just as he said it would happen. There are people who believe. There are people who are living out this scripture of Psalm 96 and taking the gospel to the nations, who are joining in this mission of God's global pursuit of his glory. And so if you're following along, the last one in our sermon notes is that God's glory among all nations has been his mission, purpose, and passion since the beginning of creation and will be for all eternity. And so we just need to answer, what does this mean for us? Well, it means that as the people of God, we are a part of something that is much bigger than ourselves. As I've said, we were made for global purposes. We are a part of the global mission of God in making his glory known throughout the nations and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to leave you with just two practical questions I believe we should be asking ourselves every day in light of this. If we truly believe this, First question is, what can we do day in and day out to reach the lost around us? You've heard this said so many times up here, and it's in our video and everywhere, but that we would be building intentional relationships with people around us in order to display the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that can be very simply just getting to know our neighbors, getting to know our coworkers, getting involved in places that are in our community. We might reach out to people. We might live this mission. Living on mission as the community of God's people in our community groups, inviting others to church, just being able to ask others to be able to come into our lives and see this glory of God tangibly. It can be as simple as inviting someone to your dinner table. We need to rely on prayer and pray for those that do not know Jesus, that they would come to this knowledge of faith in him. And then the second question is, how can we be reaching the unreached? How can we be reaching the unreached? We see that we're supposed to. You know, one great way is by simply supporting those who are already out there reaching the unreached, missionaries. We have the Bray family from Solid Rock that are on mission in Northwest Asia, who are constantly being exposed to people who do not know the gospel, who do not have access to the gospel, who are unreached people. We're sending a team. Solid Rock is fully funding, sending a team, or a family, I'm sorry, into the Philippines to reach unreached people. The Rathbuns set out next fall to reach these unreached people groups in the Philippines. We should be doing everything we can to help encourage them, to help spur them on, to pray for their ministry. Another way is for us to begin stewarding our own time, our own resources, our own finances so that we can go ourselves, that we might engage in these areas. You know, we're currently in the Philippines trying to reach to these places that are unreached, people to give people the gospel. And we're always looking for other areas in the future. We will always be a church on mission here at Solid Rock to the ends of the earth. That'll always be a part of what we do here. And we would love for you to come alongside of us and be a part of that as well. Last week we heard about an organization called World Relief. And this is a great organization that's resettling refugees, many of whom come from unreached places. Is it not amazing that God is bringing part of the nations to our front door here in Fort Worth? We should all be getting involved with this organization. Lastly, there's apps and websites and so many other resources where we can find out information, names of these people and these people groups that we might be praying for them by name. You know, there's an app that will send you a name of a person and a people group each day that you might pray for them. You know, we would love to, as the mission team here at Solid Rock, to be able to come alongside of you and help you answer these questions and be able to help you be able to get into these places and reach the unreached, reach the lost around you, that we might be a resource for you. We'd love for you to email us. It's the mission at srchurch.tv. My hope today is that we would see that for those of us that call Jesus our Lord, call Jesus our Savior, that we would embrace this call and join in this mission of God as his glory is spread throughout the earth till every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people has heard the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray and begin singing again. So Jason, would you come on up? If you just take some time and pray to the Lord where you're sitting. Father, we thank you that you have called us to join you in this mission. We do not deserve that. We thank you for your grace. Continuously amazes us and causes us to do things that we never thought we would do. Father, I pray for the person in here today that may not know you, that may not have a saving faith and knowledge of your Son, that they would be able to have their eyes open and their hearts open to see the beauty and the glory of Jesus, of what he's done for them. Father, and I ask that others in this room would join me in that prayer. We'd be able to see the majesty and the splendor of Jesus, that he has died for our sins. He lived a perfect life in order to gain us the righteousness we need to stand before you. And he has defeated death on our behalf. He's done all of this as a gift, not to be earned, but to show your grace. Father, I pray for us that we would begin to take this call, this mission of yours for your glory throughout the nations seriously. That we would see it's in giving up everything we find all things. It's worth the cost. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name.